Matthew, the 26th chapter, verse 45. Verse 45. I usually read about 10 or 12 verses there, but I'm not going to do that this morning, because if I did, the water would run out before I finish, and I want to finish my message. And so I'm just going to read verse 45 and then tell a little bit about the story that you're so familiar with. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Father, we thank you for the congregation that's here this morning, for each man, each woman, each dad, each mother, each boy, each girl. And we're grateful, dear Father, that they're here to hear the Word of God. And I pray that the Holy Spirit will speak to each of our hearts, and may we respond as you would have us to, and we'll give you the praise, for we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Then cometh he to be. With his disciples, and saith unto them to be with his disciples, sleep on now, and take your rest. And behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Now, sometimes we wonder, Lord, have I got the right message? All of us who have preached have sat and wondered, Lord, have I got the right message? And then the song leader will have us sing a song in the garden this morning. And so I say, Lord, thank you for assuring me that I have the right message. Now, this scene, Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he instituted the Lord's Supper in the upper room. And when supper was ended, they sung a hymn and went out and started toward the Garden of Gethsemane. John 14, 15, 16, 17 tells you about how they came, and Jesus talked to his disciples, and he knew the time was coming when he would be on the cross for you and for me. And so he went into the garden, he's going to pray, and he told Peter, James, and John. Now, Peter, James, and John, they're not just the ordinary Christian. They're not the morning glory Christian. We used to call the crowd that comes in the morning morning glory Christians, and they close up at night. They don't come back. But these three, they were not the morning glory Christians. In fact, they were the top three. Jesus had them on the Mount of Transfiguration. I mean, these are hand-picked disciples. The 12 went to the garden, but Jesus said, now you tarry here. And he brought Peter, James, and John up closer, and he said, now I want you to stand here, and I want you to pray while I go and pray yonder. And he went into the garden, he began to pray, Lord, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. And he prayed in agony and sorrow. And you know that the garden scene is a scene of a burden for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a scene of sincerity, and it's a scene of agony. And I'm often reminded of that when we sing, I'll go with him through the garden. And many of us sing that, and we don't mean that. But Peter, James, and John, Jesus counted on them, and he said, now sleep on. Sleep on. And what they did, they waited too late to do the will of God for their life at that time. Don't wait too late. Now then, we can wait too late to do a lot of things. We can wait too late to get a real education. How many of you senior saints? I like that, senior saints. I'm going to start using that when I ask for a discount at a motel. Instead of saying senior citizen rate, I say, give me that senior saint rate and see what they say. And, you know, that'd be a good testimony, wouldn't it? That'd be, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So we who are seniors, let's start doing that. Do you have a senior saint rate? And that'll shock some of them. That'll shock some of them. How many of you senior saints wish you could go back to school and really zone in on it and really get a real, real good education? And most of us would raise our hand and say, yes, I did, but I've waited too late. You know, you don't go back to school when you're 86 years old. Oh, well, actually, you're in school all the time. You learn something, you know, every day. But we wait too late. We wait too late to do some of the things we'd like to. Some are going to wait too late to tell their dad and their mother they love them. I was saved after my mother died and went to heaven. And the first thing I wanted to do, and I studied and read the Word of God, I wanted my mother to know I was a Christian. I wanted my mother to know I was a Christian. And so I'd read the Word of God, and I couldn't find anything that would tell me that I could talk to my mother. And nothing in the Bible told me that I could talk to my mother. But then one day I realized that I could talk to Jesus, and the Bible says to be absent from the Lord, is to be present with the Lord. And I said, Lord, my mother's with you. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And I said, you tell my mother I'm saved. Amen. And so that lifted me up, lifted my spirits up. And it's wonderful. I didn't wait too late to tell her here, but I told her then. And others, you know, we wait too late to do some things that we ought to do. But there's three things that I want to mention this morning. If you wait too late, you'll never, never get over it. Never get over it. I believe right now, and I don't know everything that's going on in heaven. And I don't believe anybody else does. Because if you knew everything that was going on in heaven, you'd be homesick to go there. You'd be homesick to go there. We were eating lunch one day with two of our friends, Ken Bowen, the rodeo clown, and Joe Potts, the cattleman, and their wives. And we were out in a restaurant and talking about how wonderful heaven's going to be. And boy, we just rejoice in old Ken Bowen. He tells it as he is. It is. He's a northerner from Illinois, Decatur, Illinois. And he said, oh yes, heaven's going to be a wonderful, glorious place. And he said, I'm taking 7 pills a day to keep from going there. Isn't that the way it is? If we knew everything that was going on in heaven, we'd run out here on Highway 41 and jump in front of a Mack truck in order to get there. But God doesn't reveal everything that's going on to us because He knew we'd be homesick and fit for nothing. When you're homesick, you're fit for nothing. How many have been homesick and just couldn't hardly wait to get home? You had nothing else on your mind but getting home. Well, don't wait too late to go to heaven. Don't wait too late to be saved. And my dear friend, there's going to be untold millions that are going to wait too late. Don't you be one of those that wait too late. Lord, Lord, have we not done this? Lord, have we not done miracles in Thy work? Lord, have we not cast out devils? The people talking to the Lord there in Matthew 7. And Jesus said, depart from me, I never knew you. And some folks are going to wait too late to be saved. Oh, what a sad thing that's going to be. You stop and ask people, do you want to go to heaven when you die? And 99.9% will say yes. I want to go to heaven when I die. But the Word of God says narrow is the way and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. I've never known a church named the Narrow Way Baptist Church. Never. And I've been preaching, as the pastor said, for 57 years, and I've never in all of my travelings have never been in a church that's named the Narrow Way Baptist Church. I've always said, if I ever get in a church that's named the Narrow Way Baptist Church, I'm going to join by letter. I'm going to join it by letter and be a member there while I'm there. Now, I've been in a number of churches named Broadway Baptist Church. Broadway Baptist Church. But listen, my dear friend, narrow is the way. And the Bible teaches us that there's a certain way you can go to heaven, and that's the only way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father except by me. That's the only way. I met a man that told me he wanted to die and go to hell. Carmen, Oklahoma. The pastor introduced me to him down. We were walking downtown. He said, wait a minute. And he knew the fella. And he called him over, and he introduced me as Evangelist Jack Thompson from Fort Smith, Arkansas. He's in our church, and we want you to come and hear him. And this fellow looked him and me straight in the eye, and he said, I don't care anything about your church. I don't care anything about your evangelist, and I don't care anything about your Lord. And I said, sir, do you mean to tell me that you want to die and go to hell? He said, that's exactly right. I want to die and go to hell, and if there's a gate barring me from hell, I'm going to take my foot and kick it open and walk right in. Most people want to go to heaven when they die, but most people are going to wait too late. Don't let it be you. Be saved when the Holy Spirit's speaking to you. Bible says, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the day of provocation, in the day of temptation, in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works, 40 years. Wherefore, I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. You get saved when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, my dear friend. He's the one that draws you. It's not the preacher and his ability to preach the Word of God. And thank God for preachers that have that ability. But you put it down to the bottom line, it's the Holy Spirit that speaks to your heart. And draws you. And when you begin to resist him and harden your heart, then God says, they shall not enter in to my rest. So I say, be saved when you hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. You'll not hear him audibly, but you'll hear him. And then you get saved when you have your sanity. The Bible says, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. When you can reason together, God says, come, let us reason together. When you have your senses, I've talked to men who had lost their ability to reason with God or anyone else. Boy, that Alzheimer's thing is getting into the young people now, not teenagers. Well, I've heard of some small children having Alzheimer's disease, not able to figure things out, not able to reason with God. Preacher asked me, a friend asked me if I'd go and talk to a man in a rest home. He said, I've tried to talk to him, and I can't get him to come to the Lord. Would you please go with me and talk with him? I said, I'd be happy to. Van Buren, Arkansas. We went, and he was on his deathbed, and he was laying there, and we began to talk to him, and I asked him, do you know the Lord as your Savior? And he couldn't reason with me, but here's what he said. He tried to sing it out. He said, I don't want to cross Jordan alone. I don't want to cross Jordan alone. That meant that he'd been in church. He had heard the singing. He had heard the preaching, but he waited too late to be saved. Now this morning, you're going to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. He speaks to you right, not here. He speaks to you right here in your heart. And you're going to hear him say, come. Come to him this morning. Come to him today. Don't turn him away. Because you can wait too late. God doesn't guarantee us here in the Word of God that he'll speak to us a half a dozen times. Thank God he does at times. Sometimes it's one time. Sometimes it's two. But I'm going to tell you, the biggest gambler is not out here in the casinos. The biggest gambler on the face of God's earth is the person that sits in the pew and hears the voice of God and walks out without trusting him. You're gambling with destiny. Do you want to go to heaven? Don't wait too late. Be saved while you have your sanity. Be saved when the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart. Be saved while you're alive, living, because there is no purgatory. There's no second chance, folks. This is it while you're alive. All of us who are preachers and many lay people have talked to those who waited too late. Mr. Quisenberry there in Peoria. I pastored over here in Peoria, Illinois for 11 years. We had a neighbor by the name of Quisenberry. And I witnessed to him, witnessed to him. And Vince Bounds, I witnessed to him. And neither one of them would come to the Lord. You could tell God was dealing with them. I mean, you could tell that the Holy Spirit was speaking to their hearts, but they turned him down. And I remember when we left Peoria to go back to Oklahoma City and pastor a church there, we had a garage sale. You know, a lot of people, when they have a garage sale, they say, well, I made $2,000. Well, I lost $6,000. Because I paid a whole lot more for what I was selling. I didn't make a dime. But it's out there, refrigerator, and I don't know what all. Here came Mr. Quisenberry. And he said, Pastor, we hate to see you leave. We appreciate you and respect you, but we hate to see you leave. And I said, Mr. Quisenberry, wait a minute now. Let me tell you once again about the Lord. And Mr. Quisenberry got him so far that he bowed his head, and I prayed, but he wouldn't call on the Lord. And the next thing I know, he died. Too late. And if Mr. Quisenberry was here this morning, he'd be the first one down this aisle. He'd be the first one down this aisle after spending all these years in hell. Don't wait. Be saved while you're alive. And have your senses about you. And know that Jesus is the Son of God. And he will save. Call unto me and I'll answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And for the sinner, that's salvation. Be saved while we're living in the day of grace. We're living in a day of grace today. There's seven dispensations taught in the Word of God. I look at these preachers and see if they agree with me, and whether they do or not, I'm still going to say it. And some dispensations and some have different opinion about how many and so forth and so on. But I say this, we're living in the day of grace, the dispensation of grace, whosoever. That's you and that's me. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's grace, my dear friend. I'm glad God put that whosoever in here. When I first saved, you know, when you first get saved, your knowledge of the Bible is zero. The natural man receiveth not the things of God, neither can he understand them, for they are spiritually discerned. So when you first get saved, your knowledge, well, you've read it. I talked to a lady that read the Bible three times through before she's ever saved. But when I began to study the Bible, I used to think, I wish I could find my name in here. You know, if Lord, if I could just find the name Jack Thompson, Jack C. Thompson, Jack Curtis Thompson, if you'd have just put that in the Bible, Lord, what a blessing that would be to me. Well, I moved to Oklahoma City and found out there's some Jack C. Thompsons in Oklahoma City. Man, wouldn't I be confused? I'd say, well, Lord, which one's me? Instead of our name in there, God said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's your name, whosoever. And so I say, call on him in the day of grace. There are many who know in their hearts, they're church members, and every time a preacher preaches, Holy Spirit says, you're not saved. You're not saved. You're not saved. One was my daughter, Jeannie. And Jeannie told us, she said, the devil had me so convinced that it would be better for me to die and go to hell than to be saved. She said, the devil had me convinced. He said, if you get saved, you'll embarrass your daddy. And she said, I love my daddy, full-time evangelist. And if I get saved, the devil said, if you get saved, you'll embarrass your daddy. And she said, I didn't want to do that. And then she said, the devil said, if you get saved, you'll embarrass your husband. Your husband is a pastor of the Southside Baptist Church. And if you walk down that aisle and trust Christ as your Savior, you'll embarrass your husband. And my dear friend, that's the power that the devil has. He will try his best to keep you from making the decision that the Holy Spirit puts on your heart. But thank God, she walked down the aisle and she confessed that she was a sinner. And she said, I've sinned and I'm sorry. I want Christ as my Savior. And God saved her, and her husband and her daddy rejoiced. We were not one bit embarrassed. Don't let the devil talk you out of making that decision that God puts upon your heart. If you want to go to heaven, you be saved before it's too late. Secondly, if you want to go to heaven before it's too late, be saved. But if you want to serve him and walk on for Jesus, don't wait too late. The Bible says that we're to walk as he walked. There's there no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in knowledge of God. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk, even as he walked. If you want to serve God and walk with Jesus, don't wait too late. Isn't it wonderful to be in a church where you can serve God? And I know you have many here, Pastor, that serves the Lord. And that's wonderful. But there are some here, you're going to wait too late. I mean, the pastor say we need someone here in the nursery at this hour. And you say, I've done my time, not for me. And you'd have some say, well, I don't want to fool with the babies, and so forth and so on. And the pastor says, come out for visitation. Come out for visitation. And, you know, and we say, well, the Holy Spirit said, well, I ought to do that. Don't wait too late. Don't wait too late to serve God, because, my dear friend, you can do that. You can do that. I'll tell you, it's wonderful to be able to say, I serve the Lord. I serve the Lord. Now, I didn't start out like preaching here in church like this. No way. I started out giving a testimony. giving a testimony. We had a layman's group in our church there in Fort Smith, Arkansas, and we'd go out and be about four or five of us go out in the church. They'd call and ask us to come, ask the pastor to send someone, and we'd go out and we'd take three or four fellas to go along with us because none of us could preach over 15 minutes. And that's not right to have a church come and you stand up there and preach 15 minutes and say you're dismissed. So we'd take three or four fellas to give a testimony. And they'd give a testimony, and some singing. And then the preacher would get up and he'd preach. And we got to where we could preach more than 15 minutes. In fact, we got to where we could preach an hour. And we cut out the other fellas going with us. But I went with them as a testimony. Given a testimony, and I never shall forget it, first testimony I ever gave on Townsend Avenue in Fort Smith, Arkansas. And I was a public accountant, and I wrote out some notes that I was going to use, legal-sized sheet of paper, 8.5 by 11, and wrote all of the notes I was going to use, and got up there and spoke for about 2 minutes, I guess, giving a testimony. And I said, if I wasn't a Christian, I wouldn't want to be alive. Well, that's the worst thing you could do. I mean, if you're not a Christian, you're not alive, you're in hell. And but anyway, that's the way we started out. So I didn't start out preaching like this. Started out from the very bottom, giving a testimony. And then they said, well, Sunday school teacher, raise your hand. Most of the times when you ask someone to do something, they'll say, I'll pray about it. No, do it and then pray about it. That's the way you do that. And you will pray about it after you volunteer to do what the pastor asks you to do. And I know this, if you do everything in a Baptist church that the pastor asks you to do, you'll never see home again. I realize that. But let's serve God. And then I was, I never shall forget it, Thel Smith was in charge of the lay preachers is going out, and I was saved November 21st, 1951, and this was in June. He said, now, Jack, we're preaching down here at Charleston, Arkansas, at a Brush Arbor meeting, and your night's Tuesday night. Well, I said, Thel, I can't preach. He said, we can't either, but we're having a good time trying, and your night's Tuesday night. And that's how God called me to preach, and I'm thankful that he did. But there's always other ways of serving God than standing behind the pulpit. In fact, God needs you more, I suppose, than he needs the preacher. Because there's only one of him and many of you. And if you'll serve God the way God intends for you to do, only God knows what the results will be. Don't wait too late. Don't wait too late. Sid Hatfield. Say more about him tonight. My uncle. He said, I'm going to serve God. I'm going to serve God. And my grandfather, his dad died. Grandpa Hatfield. And I can remember very well in a revival meeting there in Fort Smith, Brother J. Harold Smith said, how many here? And we're in a tent meeting outside the church. He said, how many in here know someone that has a spiritual need? Well, I raised my hand. I looked around, and I figured everyone that didn't have his hand up had a spiritual need, because all of us ought to know someone that has a spiritual need. And I raised my hand up, and he said, put the name on the card. Many did that, and I put my grandfather's name on the card, C.O. Hatfield, and gave the address. And I went to Oklahoma for a revival meeting, and about Tuesday night, my wife called me and said, guess who got saved tonight? I said, I don't know. She said, your grandpa got saved tonight. And I said, thank God. Two men went out to see him with the card and said, we see here that your grandson's named Jack Thompson, and he said that you're not saved, and he wants to see you saved. And he said, well, he's right, I'm not saved. And they said, well, you can be. And they led him to the Lord Jesus Christ. So later he died, and we were going to the house. And you know how it is when your loved ones are around. It's difficult to witness to them the way you'd like to. And so before we went in, I prayed and I said, Lord, help me now to be a witness for you. And help me now, Lord, as I tell my loved ones about the Lord. And so we were sitting around the table. Sid Hatfield was right over here. And the others were here. And there was a hush that came over the conversation. All of them talking about fishing and hunting and those things that they did. And there was a hush that came over the conversation. The Holy Spirit says, now's your chance. So I said this. All of you know that Grandpa got saved. And Grandpa got saved by trusting Christ as his Savior. And you can play church if you want to. And some of them had joined the church after I got saved. Charles Burkhart, my cousin, he joined the Episcopalian church. He no more Episcopalian than the man in the moon, if there is one up there. And went around the table and I said, now you can play church if you want to, but if you want to go to heaven, you must go through the blood of Jesus Christ. And Sid Hatfield and his wife were sitting there. And I went right around the table. I said, are you saved, Denise? She said, yes, I am. I said, Sid, how about you? He said, yes, but I'm not living like it. I'm not living like it. And right around the table. And I said, Sid, God won't let you get by with that. You said you was going to serve him. You're going to be a real Christian. And now then you say, you've got to go back to Little Rock to be in your business. God won't let you get by with that. 30 days, and Sid was about 44 years old. 30 days from then, I assisted Brother J. Harold Smith in preaching Sid Hatfield's funeral. So, God is not in this for a game. God's in it for real, and don't wait too late to serve him. Surrender all. Surrender all. Old Ken Bowen, the rodeo clown, I mean big time rodeo man, Cheyenne, Madison Square Garden, 9 consecutive years with the old Gray Mare Act, Boston Gardens, Calgary, Canada, just all the big rodeos. Lynn, his wife, told me Ken had so many invites to rodeos he wouldn't even answer them. He was big time, but he became a big time Christian May the 5th, 1951, all out for Jesus. And I can remember standing right here with Ken Bowen, who was facing the preacher, of course. And the invitation, I surrender all. And Ken Bowen and I stand there and I'd say, I surrender all. And Ken wouldn't sing. I said, Ken, why won't you sing that song? He said, Jack, when you say, I surrender all, you're saying a lot. And Ken Bowen wouldn't sing it. But most of us will sing it, not even come back tonight. Isn't that the truth, Lord? Amen or oh me. Yeah, we'll sing it, not even tithe. All to Jesus I surrender. We'll sing it, not even give to missions. See, Ken Bowen wouldn't sing it unless he could surrender all. Oh, isn't it wonderful to be able to say, I surrender all. Now, if you can't say that this morning, don't wait too late. Don't wait too late. Just come and say, I'm going to surrender all this morning, and God will bless you so. But many are going to wait too late. They intend to, Pastor. You know those. They intend to, and they're honest about it. They want to serve God. They intend to, but they just keep putting it off, surrender. I'll surrender all. And then lastly, I ought to hear some amens on that. I had a fellow one time, I was sitting on the platform with the preacher. He said, oh, here comes our amener. I said, what? Yeah, I said, watch him. He sat right over here, about third, fourth row back. He amened everything the preacher said during his announcements. I mean, everything. And then when I got up, he began to amen. And I didn't know whether he was preaching, I was amening him, or whether I was preaching, he's amening me. I went back a year later. I said, "Where's the amener?" He says, "He's in the mental institution here in Norman. State mental institution." I went to see the fella. I said, "You were in the church?" He said, "I was the biggest hypocrite in that church. I was the biggest hypocrite in that church." And he said, "I'd sneak around the beer joints and walk in the back, wouldn't park my car out front where people could see me." And he said, "What I'm saying is, just because you amen loud doesn't mean that you're right here in your heart. And just because you don't amen doesn't mean you're not right here in your heart. I can preach whether we have amens or not. But I thank you for your amens and thank you for your attention that you're giving me this morning. And don't wait too late. There's someone that God has talked to you about witnessing to. And you know that you ought to witness to them. Your schoolmate. Most of you go to the Christian school and thank God for the Christian schools. That's wonderful. Your schoolmate, are they saved? Your employer, is he saved? Your employee, are they saved? Don't wait too late. We ought to know those around us whether they're saved or not. We were out in Strom, Texas, and we're running a little late, just going to barely get to the meeting, and so we stopped at a fast food place to get a little package of health food, French fries, you know. And we got ready to check out, and I asked the girl at the register there, "Are you a Christian?" She said, "Yes, I am." And when I asked her that, I said, "You have a friend here that works with you. Is she a Christian?" She said, "I don't know." I said, "You mean to tell me you work here 8 hours a day with your fellow employee, and you're saved, you know the Lord, and if she dies without Christ, she'll go to hell, and you don't know whether she's a Christian or not?" Shame the girl. And we ought to be ashamed if we don't let others know about Jesus. Don't wait too late. Ken Bowen's mother waited too late. As I said, old Ken Bowen, I wish you could know Ken Bowen. He died when he was 91 years old. He and his wife Lynn would go out. They live in Fort Smith. He and his wife would go out to lunch and then come home and take a nap like old folks do, and then in the evening go out again for dinner. And so about 4 o'clock they go early, and Lynn went up to wake Ken up at 4 o'clock. "Ken, wake up, it's time to get up, get ready to go." "Ken, wake up." Ken had gone. He is in heaven. And what a wonderful thing that is when you can go like that. But Ken, when he got saved, May 5th, 1951, he gives his testimony. He said, "Brother J. Harold Smith came out to my place there on Duncan Road," and he said, "It's in May the 5th, and he said, "In Arkansas, the ground's always damp and wet," and he said he came out where the horses had been running, and he said he had on a white suit, entirely white suit, and he said that preacher knelt down in that mud, and I could see that mud oozing up on that white suit. And he said, he looked up at me, and he said, "Ken, won't you kneel down here with me and trust Christ as your Savior?" And Ken Bowen said, "If he can kneel down in that white suit, I can get down in these Wrangler blue jeans." And Ken Bowen knelt beside the preacher and said, "Lord, I'm a sinner. I want to be saved." God saved him just like he'll save you. And Ken said, "I couldn't wait to get home to tell my mother about Jesus." He said, "Just as soon as I could, we went back to Decatur, Illinois." And he said, "Mother, I want you to know about Jesus." And she said, "Ken, I already know about Jesus." Ken said, "Mother, how could you tell me you love me and never one time, not one time, told me about Jesus Christ, knowing that if I died, I'd go to hell. And you say you love me? And he said, for the first time I could understand why Mother thumbed through her Bible after Junior was killed. Said, I had a 14-year-old brother. He wanted to be a rodeo performer like his big brother. He said he'd always roping. And Mother said, Ken, go out and get Junior. He's back on the back 40 out there like usual, roping steers, practicing. Go get him, supper time. Ken said, I got on my horse, went back to the back 40. And he said, saddest day of my life. He said, Junior was practicing roping steers, and somehow the rope got around Junior's neck, and the steer drug him off his horse and drug him to death. He said, I picked up my 14-year-old brother, and he said, I put him on my horse and carried him to the house. And he said, I now know why Mother thumbing through the Bible. She is looking for some hope for a boy, and there was none. She waited too late. The Holy Spirit's put some on your heart, and you haven't witnessed to them. You haven't told them about the Lord. Don't wait too late. You say, Lord, help me. And give me boldness and give me courage. I don't want to wait too late. The disciples waited too late to do God's will for their life right then. Don't you do that this morning. When we have the invitation, you come and you say, I'm not going to wait too late. And I don't know what it is the Spirit of God speaking to you about. But whatever it is, you come, kneel here at the altar and say, I'm not going to wait too late. I'm going to surrender all. I'm going to serve God in any way I can. And by all means, if you're not saved, you come this morning and say, I'll trust Christ as my Savior. Let's bow our heads and pray. I'm going to ask the pianist if she'll come. And after we pray, if she'll play on the piano some invitation number at her choosing, then we're going to ask you to come and make that decision. Father, we thank you for the attention that this dear crowd has given me as I preach your word. And we know, Father, that the Holy Spirit will do his part and help all of us, Lord, to do our part by responding to that which we've heard. And Lord, help us not to wait too late. And we'll give you the praise, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.